Hello there, and welcome to Woman of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ann, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you.
Today's guest is a professional presence expert who, in her own words, helps leaders and teams walk the walk, talk the talk, and look the part doing it as a consultant and coach. She is a sought-after keynote speaker on topics related to leadership and presence, an accomplished author and jazz singer. When she's not empowering women to reach their full potential, she enjoys exploring Vancouver's food and jazz scene with her husband and friends. So let's give a warm welcome to our guest, Catherine Lazaro, who will share her wisdom and insight. Welcome to Women of Grit Podcast, Catherine. How are things north of the border?
Things are beautiful north of the border. We have gorgeous sunshine today, and the lilacs are out, and the lilacs are my favorite.
Let's dive in with my signature question about passion and perseverance. If you had to choose between passion or perseverance, which would you choose and why?
I would choose passion every single time because I think perseverance follows passion. You're motivated to persevere if you have a passion. If I were to choose perseverance, I think it would be harder to create passion from that. And I wouldn't want to miss out on a life with passion.
Nice. At some point, maybe at the end of this season, I'll look back on all the episodes where I asked that question and just do a quick tally. Let me break it up and see which way people fall. But I really, really like the answer you gave because you can get perseverance out of passion, but if you don't have passion for something, can you persevere? I like that answer. So can you talk about your whole person, whole presence philosophy?
Sure.
What it is, why it's important, and the impact it has on someone who completely embraces their whole self.
Thank you. I would love to talk about it. Whole person, whole presence is a philosophy that I've developed over more than a decade of working with women in leadership, because I don't know about you, but I'm very, very tired of waiting for gender parity. And I'm tired of waiting for leadership to be more balanced. And what's happening in the world now is we're moving from one leadership model that's hierarchical, authoritative, and compartmentalized into this new leadership model, which is integrated, relational, and whole. So you'll hear people talk about things like, I want you to bring your whole self to work. And then what happens is people show up in companies as their whole selves, and the companies go, whoa, not like that. That's too much. They don't know how to change the sandbox so that people will want to stay in the sandbox, right? So around this whole self piece, what I've noticed is this. If I know myself fully and deeply and express myself fully and deeply, and you know yourself fully and deeply, and you express yourself fully and deeply, we will be able to trust each other and work together much more effectively than if we didn't have that. The pandemic humanized all of us, which is great. And now we're dealing with the fallout from that. And this idea that, you know, who you are at home and who you are at work is ideally the same person. It's like a stereo. You can turn the volume up, turn it down, zhuzh it up, relax it out, but you're still the same person. And if you are able to bring all of your gifts to bear, and if your company can recognize those things, your relationship with that company is going to be significantly better, because all of our work now is in relational skills. And I feel really bad for leaders that have lived for such a long time in this hierarchical model, because they could rely on their authority to get things done and influence things. And so the cognitive dissonance they must be experiencing now, when the whole world is different and they're like, you know, there's young people coming in that want to be valued, like all of that. I have a great deal of empathy for leaders that were successful in that model, because what worked then is not going to work now.
No.
You have to adapt or die.
So when you were responding to that, a couple of things came to me.
Okay.
One is the code switching. So yeah. I'm an immigrant. I came from Cameroon originally. It's been almost 40 years.
Cool.
And I learned to code switch.
Of course.
And it's funny because I'm code switching right now.
Yeah.
If I go downstairs, talk to my cousin, I change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I called my cousin. She's been working from home mostly. She does go into the office once in a while. So I call her and we're talking. And I was like, are you at the office? She's like, why? Yes. I said, because that accent. That is the office accent. I was cracking up.
And yes. Then,
you know, another thing that came to me was belonging. Mm-hmm. I am in the DI space. And I say all the time that diversity is okay. Equity is pretty good. Inclusion is great. But above all, the belonging piece is near and dear to my heart. And I say all the time, I say 60% of my job satisfaction is because I belong. In my immediate work group, not necessarily the entire organization, mm-hmm. we love each other. They all know about my kid. I know about their moms and dads. I mean, literally their significant others, and we're a family. So definitely I understand that. So then the second part is, why is it important?
Why is whole person, whole presence important?
Right.
Directly related to what you just said. It's really difficult mm-hmm. to belong anywhere if you don't know where you belong and if your environment can't right. identify who belongs. And I really believe, naively maybe, I believe that we can absolutely learn to belong to one another, because the fact is we do. We belong to one another. Humans do not exist in a vacuum. We die if we're individuals. And I think what's happening in our, certainly in Western society, in Canada and in the US, more so in the US, I think because of the way the philosophy of your country is a little bit different than ours. Even the founding principles are different. But this idea of the individual above all else has been taken to an incredible extreme, right? And so what I love about that is I love the degree of self-expression that people get to hold on to now. I love that. I think it's amazing. I'm a huge fan of self-expression and the right to be self-expressed and the right to be who you are. So you don't have to be at a place where you have to code switch to belong, right? Mm-hmm. Big fan of that. However, what I don't see is I see a skills gap for people that want to be fully self-expressed. And also I see the skills gap that they don't know how to hold space and to be with someone else who is fully expressed. So what happens is people bump up against one another. They start to, you know, silence themselves. Women in particular, I think the single greatest issue facing women right now that stops them is self-silencing mm-hmm. in order to feel safe, right? So, right. So people stop talking. They don't show up. They don't feel like they're there. They don't have any loyalty to the group and they feel alone. Like people are lonely because yeah. of this huge focus on individualism. So I think it's, right. you absolutely have a right to be an individual. You have a responsibility to use your gifts and talents. I really feel very strongly that whatever container you're here on this planet in is exactly the right container for you to do whatever you're meant to do on the planet.
Right.
The sooner you make friends with your container, the easier your life is going to roll, right? Yeah. So you have that responsibility to self-actualize. And I understand that speaking from a great place of privilege also. If you're fighting food insecurity,
right.
fight that, right? Focus on what's important.
Yeah.
Beyond that, right? Some of the women that we talk to, they have the privilege to self-actualize. So fully responsible, do that. And you also have the responsibility to integrate into a community in such a way that you are part of that community, that you're contributing, that you're a good citizen, that you're able to be socially interactive with people. So we don't get to these places of, well, I'm right and you're stupid.
Right.
Right. But this relational skills gap is missing. And so that's when I think of the new leadership is, we have to be able to learn to relate to one another and to celebrate one another. And we don't have those skills yet.
Okay. So one of the things I thought of when you were talking, I thought of Maslow's hierarchy. You need to meet your basic needs first.
Yep.
But then also children, even children who are fed and get all the basic, if they're not held, they mm-hmm. fail to thrive if they're not held. So
clearly right.
to your point that as humans, we need each other. We belong to a community of humans, really.
We do. And just to your point, the thing that I'm really concerned about is I'm also very interested in having people in leadership that are responsible with the exercise of power. I think what's happened also is that people who are in power are not understanding that they have a huge responsibility to care for people with less power.
Right.
Globally, to care for people. So it's not only my responsibility to my community right here, right, in my local community, it's also my responsibility to my global community. So I think the quicker we can change leadership, and if there are senior leaders in leadership now that can adapt and look at those things and look at the value of people coming up and look at the value globally, that's going to make a big difference as well. That it's not just I'm in power and yay me.
Right.
Well, I think the impact of embracing your whole self is a greater ease in life.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, like when I was younger, my whole life has been about challenge because I'm a fairly challenging person in terms of, I always ask why. Why are we doing it like this? Why does it have to be like this? How come I have to do
that?
What is this rule for? Oh my gosh, right? I think about my poor parents. I'm like, think about all of this in a three-year-old. Like my mother went to see a psychologist about me when I was three because I was so difficult for her to manage because she just didn't have the skill set to handle somebody who's so inquisitive. So bless the psychologist, because the psychologist said three important things to her. Said, number one, you're expecting her to be six and she's three. So luckily we know way more about development now for people, and we understand kind of where they get stuck. So if someone that's, you know, 40 is behaving like a five-year-old because they're emotionally stuck at five,
right? There are
things they can do to change. So, so you're expecting her to be six and she's three. So she had to adjust her expectations.
Right.
He said, you need to give her some power, some choice, age-appropriate choice. So for example, she would say, do you want to wear red tights or blue tights? There's no question about wearing tights, red tights or blue tights, which is an age-appropriate choice at three. And then the psychologist said to her, do not break her spirit because she will need it. And I thought, I don't know who that person was, but
person
bless them.
Was. I know.
Right? Because we need that. So this idea of, if you can really be at peace with, because also being a challenger and being in that household where my parents were, did everything they could, but didn't really have the skill set to manage the emotional life, right? The emotional guidance. They just didn't, what did they know? We didn't know about that.
Right.
Right. In that generation, you know, my parents are boomers. They had no clue. So it's that idea of know better, do better. Right.
Right.
So in this idea of whole person, you get greater ease and satisfaction in your life. You're more likely to find the places where you belong and find them faster. And you're more likely to solicit the kind of support that you need in order to grow. Because what you said earlier about environment trumps willpower, I think that's very true of people as well. If you are the kind of person you are and you're placed in the right environment, you will be celebrated, you'll grow, you'll thrive. If you're placed in an environment where that doesn't happen, it's much, much harder to grow. And in fact, there's trauma impacts that happen that then you have to unpack as an adult, which it's your responsibility. Like if you're 40, 30, 40, 50, it's not your parents' fault, right? You're an adult. You have a responsibility to do your own therapy and figure your stuff out. But, you know, there are things you have to unravel and it takes you longer, right? And the beauty of the whole self piece is now that we know more about children's development, we know more about parenting and we know more about those things, there are more people employing those things. So I'm now meeting 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 29-year-olds that already understand this relational stuff, and they are going to be I'm so excited. Where are they going to be when they're 40?
Right.
Who are they going to be? What are they going to do? So exciting. I'm like, man,
right.
I wish I'd known that when I was 20-something.
When 20-something, right? Absolutely. So I read that one of your favorite expressions is, image only matters where it matters. Yes. Can you share with us what you mean by this?
Sure. I started my business in image consulting. So that was my first focus. And I always just like struggled with it because I don't care about fashion. I don't care. I hate shopping. So that makes me a bit of a liar, like in my profession. And even though I understand all the scientific data, I get it. There's a lot of data to support the fact that your image matters, right? It helps people know, like, and trust you faster. It helps you belong in places. It helps, you know, be distinct from places. There are lots of things that, you know, around the way humans are wired that it matters. However, I don't think it matters if you're on the beach with your kids. Buy the bikini, wear the swimsuit, enjoy the sun.
Right.
It does not matter there. It doesn't matter if you're in bed with your lover. Enjoy that bed.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Your bedhead, doesn't matter. right? There are places like where you're going to be in comfy clothes with your friends, like in these casual environments. Right. There are places where you're working on a project. Like, let's say you're at work and you're really head down in something and you're trying to get it done. There are places where we can be more relaxed and still be with each other and still be credible. Executive presence as we knew it is dead. The books that are being written about executive presence in 2023 are the same books that were being written in 2003. The exact same information, speak low and slow, wear your suit, blah, blah, like very stiff stuff. And it's all about fitting into that male dominated sort of patriarchal leadership. And we're not there anymore. We're not there. So when I think about whole presence, I think about bringing your complete self in. And so I use that work to dramatically accelerate the progress of women into senior leadership and women in senior leadership. Because we need to get there faster, we need to go further faster, and we need to show the way, because women are generally, and I realize I'm stereotyping to some degree here, women are poised, we're at the edge of the wedge to bring everybody along with us. And there are men who definitely get it, and they're balanced and it's great. But there are places where I say, you know, it matters, and other places where it doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
This next question, it's about professional presence. So maybe it's an opportunity for you to dash the previous definition of what professional presence is.
Right.
You're sought after professional presence expert.
Yes.
So what does professional presence mean? Now I'm hearing it could mean something more than I thought it meant just based on the previous conversation.
Okay. So our definition of professional presence has historically been based on this leadership paradigm, which is quite masculine in its viewpoint. So to be professional, it's also based on white supremacy. Your hair has to be straight.
Right.
Your clothing has to be sharp. You have
right.
to be tailored. You have to wear high heels if you're a woman, or if you're in a very formal environment, it's better if you wear a skirt. So it's very conformist in its viewpoint. My view of professional presence is, are you prepared for your work? Do you show up when you say you're going to show up? Are you accountable? Are you true to your word? Are you capable? Do you look like you care for yourself? Did you make an effort, you know, to actually be groomed so that you
right.
feel good, that you're showing up and you're honoring yourself and you're honoring the place where you're going? So like, if you work in a very formal workplace, do you enjoy the formality? How do you honor the formality by what you're putting on your body, right? And how do you honor yourself yeah. by doing that? If you're working in a more casual workplace, do you honor that workplace and that spirit by what you're putting on your body? So when I think about professional presence, I think of my three C's: character, congruence, and control. Character being, do you know yourself? Can you help others know you? Who are you, right? Because who you are at 4 is who you are at 104. The core of who you are doesn't change,
right?
Right. So your character, really understanding your skills, your gifts, your talents, understanding the way your appearance shows up, understanding mm-hmm. all of those things. Who are you first and foremost? Then we look at congruence, because we don't live in a vacuum. There are expectations in different places of how we will behave. And that's a societal piece that's kind of important. We have social contracts with one another, right? And social contracts are fluid. They can change. But the way they are now, you know, if you're going to go to the symphony, you need to sit quietly and listen to honor the musicians and to
right.
honor your own experience of that. That's a social contract. When you go to work, there's a certain social contract of how you're going to perform, what's going to happen when you're there, when you're having a meeting. Are you actually present in the meeting, right? Are you there?
Right.
And I don't think you can be wholly present unless you're whole. And by whole, I don't mean perfect. Like, you're not finished. None of us are finished. But are you sitting in that room, you know, with the completeness of spirit? Are you
right.
there? So with the congruence piece, does your character match your environment? I'll give you an example. When I was starting out in image consulting, I was very much on the self-expression front. Be your true self, show your true self, dress your personality, blah, blah, blah. And I started working with a business consultant because I wanted to earn more money and I wanted to do different kinds of work and offer more value. And at the time, I was influenced fairly heavily by a group of women that I was with, and they're all glamazons. They're like long hair and makeup and nails, and like, they're beautiful, right? This is not me at all. And I also like to be a little bit unique. So I had like chunky, funky, lots of different, you know, kind of weird designers and things like that. And anyway, I go into this meeting with this business consultant, and I have with me a 5-subject Hilroy spiral notebook. you know, those notebooks you can flip on either side and they're tabbed, right? And I had a glitter pen because I love glitter. And so it's part of my personality.
Right.
So I'm sitting there in his boardroom and he walks into the boardroom and he looks at me and he leaves, doesn't say a word, leaves, comes back into the boardroom with one of those hardcover Moleskine notebooks with the bookmark, very beautiful book, puts it down in front of me. And he said, I want you to transfer all of your notes from that into this. And I never want to see that on my table again. And I was super offended. I was like, how rude. And I was like, that's part of my personality. My clients love how down to earth and practical I am. Blah, 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 blah. And he said, what kind of consultant are you again? And I went, an image consultant. He goes, exactly.
Right.
The details matter. If you say you are something and you want to be something, if your details don't match that thing, you're going to waste a lot of time having to explain to people why your details don't match.
Right.
Right. And my business doubled that year and I didn't do anything except change some of my details about my own appearance. I got more polished. I actually phoned a friend of mine who's an image consultant because it's hard to see for yourself what you need. And one of the things that she pointed out to me at the time is she said, there's an element of elegant about you. And I was like, whatever. Because to me, elegant meant very don't rock the boat, very Grace Kelly, very dresses, you know.
Right.
And she said to me, she goes, no, she said, think of it like this. She said, you have a high level of attention to detail. You like things to be finished. And she said, there's a certain amount of power in that, that you are not embracing. You're either afraid of it, you're not leaning into it, you're allowing your desire to be comfortable, which is high, to override everything. And so in this congruence piece that she was talking to me about, she's like, you also need to own all these parts of yourself.
Right.
Right. You can't just be comfortable all the time. So there's a huge deal with congruence. You want to make sure that you match your environment to your expectations, whatever those happen to be. And then finally, you need to control what you can control, right? You can't control how people are going to perceive you always, because some people are going to be intimidated. They're going to not like what you have to say. They're going to, you know, that's not about you.
Right.
But you can control how respectfully you interact with other people. You can control what you wear. You can control your behavior. Am I following the social contract of the place where I'm at? You can control a lot of things that will help people to get to know you better, faster, before you say anything at all. Your appearance is a great tool for that, right?
Right.
I tend to think of it as like, it's like a little amuse-bouche, you know, a little appetizer before the meal. People get a sense of who you are very early on. And so character, congruence, and control is the heart of professional presence. And it has very little to do. Like, it's good to maybe know what the rules of the old system are, because if you have to play the game, it's good to know the rules, because then you can understand what rules can be bent and what rules can be broken.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
That's to me, professional presence.
So the second part of that question, it was, how do you build a strong professional presence? Would it be the three C's, or there is something else?
I think, yes, definitely the three C's. That's foundational. That's like table stakes, right? You need to get those three things handled, either like with, you know, by yourself, with someone like me or me. You need to have somebody to help you with that. Even I get help with that. I have coaches. I don't wait, right? I get help when I need help.
Right.
So getting the three C's handled is huge. I think the second thing that's really important that you would get in working through the three C's also is really understanding, what impact do you want to make on the world, and where are you best suited to make that impact? I work with women in the corporate world, but I don't like to work in the corporate world myself. Like, I don't belong there because I'm too much of a challenger for it. I'm too independent. Mm-hmm. I'm too mouthy. Right? It's not good. So it's really important. And they're, the women that I work with love the corporate environment. They're really good at it. So what we do is we work to help them tweak things so that they get better at the game.
Right.
With my entrepreneurs, we get better at the game.
Right.
Right. So I think it's really, really important to, if you're going to build a strong professional presence, pay attention to the three C's for sure. And then be prepared to do some really big, like your grit model, right? Be prepared to do some deep introspection.
Right.
And be prepared to take the heat of transformation.
Right.
Right. You got to take the heat. You got to be willing to do what it takes, because, you know, if your ego is threatened by something, you're going to throw up excuses. If you're worried about, we know the systems of power exist.
Right.
We know the systemic barriers exist. If you want to spend time being sad about it, okay, get some therapy, have a bath, roll up in bed like a burrito and cry. I've had those days where you just want to cry, right? Go be sad about it. Your feelings are valid.
Right.
Be sad. Put that sadness in the place where it needs to be. Express it.
Right.
Therapy, et cetera. Then when you start to get mad about it, frustrated, irritated, annoyed, that's the time. That's what telling you to take action. So when I talk to people, when they want to come to work with me, I say, are you sad about it or mad about it? And if they say I'm mad, they're like, it was so funny. I was talking to a client. She's like, well, I'm not mad, but I'm kind of annoyed. I'm like, annoyed is a function of mad, right?
Yeah.
There's four emotions. Like that's one of them. Annoyed is a function of mad. And that's when you're ready to take action because anger is a transformative emotion. So if you're starting to feel mad about something, right? You could just run around. Like we've spent a lot of time yelling about it. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Do something.
Do something about it, right?
Absolutely.
And do as much of it as you can without having to fully sacrifice who you are. Because I'm tired. Yes. I'm tired of that. And I just talked to a client today, actually, where she's like, I don't want to lose. I'm in tech. I'm a woman. I'm usually in a room with all men, but I don't want to lose my femininity.
Right.
I want to be in dresses. I want to wear long hair. I love that about myself. One of my other clients, she's a great representative for this because she's a marketer, has a marketing and design firm. She had to do a global campaign for a restoration company. So she's up there talking to a bunch of guys in the trades, right? She's just had a baby. So what does she do? We did her wardrobe. And with her wardrobe, we ended up getting her a baby sling that matched everything she was wearing. She did her entire presentation on stage with a baby strapped to her. She walked on. She's like, I have a baby. Get over it.
I know. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm like, more, yeah. Please. We need more of that.
Absolutely.
We need more of that. More women willing to stand up and be represented in this new way. And we need men to understand and get on board, support those things.
I mean, I just think of if women are not having babies, who's going to be in those jobs? So you show some respect in the process, you know? And then I think the last part of it, we probably have killed this question. How do you show professional presence? From the conversation we've just had, that how you show professional presence will vary depending on that environment you're working in. So when I say, how do you show professional presence? I kind of think it depends. What are your thoughts on that?
My favorite answer is it depends. And then the follow-on depends on what?
On what?
Right. So how you show professional presence depends on your industry. It depends on your environment. What I mean is, so there's you at the core. Like if you think of it like a target, right? There's you at the core. So it depends on you. Right? How comfortable, how relaxed you are. Like I have clients who are, for example, they are quite private people. I am not at all private, but my clients are quite private. And they're like, well, I want to be human and I want to show up as my whole self, but I don't want to share everything. And I'm like, you don't have to,
right.
You don't have to, but you have to show up and be personable. You have to give somebody something. If they ask about your birthday or they ask about your kids or they ask about something, you don't have to tell them everything,
right.
But you can give them a little something, right? Oh yeah. My kids are this old. I have two of them,
right?
Something, right? So it depends on you as a person, how expressive you are, how much introvert, extrovert you are, how formal or informal you are as a person, all of those pieces, right? So professional presence depends on you at the core. Then the next layer out is your environment. So culturally, right? The environment that you're in depends on, like we're talking professionals. So it's really your industry and your industry, your company, the culture that you live in. All of that is relative as well. So if you are in banking, for example, banking is still a very formal industry on many levels. So I have a client who's in high-end investment banking and she still needs to wear suits or suited separates in her work life. And she also really likes that. She feels really good, right? But because she's such a sparkly person and her coloring supports it, she likes to wear quite bright colors.
Right.
So she looks professional for her industry and for her personality at the same time. So you have to think of sort of the next piece out. And then the larger is like geography, for example. So in Canada, what you wear in Vancouver to be professional is very different than what you would wear in Toronto to be professional, is different than what you'd wear in New York to be professional, is different than what you would wear in Los Angeles to be professional, or in Omaha to be professional, right? Which goes back to my point about it only matters where it matters.
Right.
Right. So you might have a different level depending on where you are at in your professionalism. So you really have to be able to gauge all of these different things in order to show up as professional. And when I talk about the culture piece, it's even something like as simple as being on time, mm-hmm. right? In some places, being on time, again, colonialism, thanks. Being on time is highly, highly important. It's disrespectful, or people will perceive you as being disrespectful if you're not on time. Whereas there are other places that you go in the world and you're conducting business. If you're on time, that's a detriment to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're seen as rude if you're on time.
Right.
So it's really understanding what is the social what social contracts are in place in the place where I am, and how do I live up to those social contracts? So professional presence depends on a bunch of different things, depending on where you're at.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So we all need help from time to time in our personal and professional lives. When is a good time to get the kind of professional development help that you offer your clients? If I'm sitting here thinking, do I need her services? Mm-hmm. When is a good time? Maybe when I'm thinking, do I need her services?
If you think you need it, you need it. Yeah, that's kind of how that works. Once you start thinking about it. Yeah, if you think you need it, you need it. That's just a no-brainer. And it's always worth a conversation. And the other indications that you will experience when you need to seek help, because even I work with some of my clients still on, well, when do I reach out? It's when you start doubting, when you're in a place where you're like, I'm not sure. That's what I hear from my clients all the time. This is why they come to me. They come to me when they're noticing a barrier and they're mad about it. They come to me when they level up and all of a sudden they get a storm of, do I really belong here? Do I deserve it? What's my story? I'm getting a lot more stages. How do I present? I want to be seen for all that I am. Like, I am smart, I'm funny, I'm credible. I want to look as good as I am. I want to come across as good as I am. I want people to believe in me. I want people to see me. I want people to know me.
Right.
That's when people are ready for help. And I say, you know what, if you want to try it yourself, look, if my coach, I have a great coach, his name is Alan Weiss. He's fantastic. He says, and I really have come to believe that this is true, if you want to change something and you give it your best effort and nothing has really changed in 30 days, you need help.
Right.
When you get help and nothing has changed in 90 days, then you need to do something else entirely. Like, I cannot help you if you do not want to be helped. Right. So if you're making excuses, if you're like, oh, you know, I'm worried about being more assertive as a woman at work because someone will call me a B-I-T-C-H.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, first of all, the only women and men that are doing that are women and men that are making excuses for their own lack of assertiveness, first of all.
Right.
And secondly, there's nothing wrong with that because I like the acronym being in total control of herself. Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Like that just means I'm in control and you have a problem with it.
Right.
I don't need to be mean to you.
No.
But do you know what I mean? So if you're a woman and you are thinking, I want to be in senior leadership, or I am in senior leadership and I'm not accelerated as quickly as I'd like, that's when I want to talk to you because I know I can help you change everything. Like, I've worked with women. I just love it. Before the recording started, I was like, I had such a great day today because I had two people who had really great wins.
Right.
Right. I had a woman that I worked with. She got promoted twice in the 9 months we worked together. I had another woman double her compensation in her negotiations because of the work that we did, her total comp, because of the work we did together. I've had women get more visibility. I've had them get into these positions where they can make an impact, where they're seen as true leaders and they're actually given the latitude to lead, right? Not just be sort of slotted into a position where they don't really
position,
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's my jam. I just love it. I'm like, more women on stages with babies, more child-free women up there showing their stuff, more women who show up in their beautiful dresses, more women who show up in their fantastic suits, or like, more women who show up in their natural glory on a construction site because they're a project manager, right? Like, more women around in the world. We need more balance. It has to be there.
Right. Absolutely. Your approach to image consulting is unique. You kind of alluded to it in that you hate shopping.
I do.
Can you tell us more about how you help your clients express themselves? I think you alluded to it, through their personal style without relying on shopping for new clothes. I like shopping for new clothes, but go ahead.
Listen, sometimes you need to, right? Everybody needs to wear things that make them feel amazing, and everybody needs to wear things that fit. Because if you're hanging around waiting to lose 20 pounds, forget it. You deserve to look good now. So do that.
Now.
Yeah, I help my clients with different things. And it's a combination of things. So I do use some of the image consulting work, right? We still look at color. We still look at body, personality, lifestyle, all that stuff for the appearance related thing. More importantly, I help my clients with their vision and their mindset.
Okay.
So that they can get clear on what they're meant to do on the planet. And then we can work towards doing that and help them stay on track. So I was talking to one of my clients today and I said, one of my jobs as your coach is to act as guardrails for you. On your highway, my job is to help you stay on track, help you manage the fluidity of the environment, help you really use your gifts in a way that's going to be good for you and be a good reflector and a good buffer for you to be like, okay, you've gone a little too far this way. Let's bring it back a bit. Okay, you've gone a little too far that way for this particular context. Let's bring it back a little bit. Okay, you're free to go. You got a minute to be completely locked, knock yourself out.
Right.
Okay, now we'll put these guardrails back in place. So when I'm helping clients, it's really about helping them see their own incredibleness because they're so incredible. I just love my clients. And to help them grow into those things. Because sometimes we get gifts when we're young that we need to grow into.
Right.
Right. So I help my clients do that. But it's chiefly through the image technical stuff, but it's the vision and it's about the mindset. Those are kind of the three areas that we focus on heavily.
So, you know, talking about your clients, you describe your clients as independent scrappers who could get to their goals on their own, but just need a bit of accelerant to get there faster. So how do you provide this accelerant? And what are some of the biggest challenges that the clients you work with face in reaching their goals?
Well, I don't pull any punches, first of all. Mm-hmm. One of my clients said, she said, the best thing about you is she said, I really like the way you kick me in the ass and pat me on the head at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm very much around, if not now, then when? Like, get on it. And I fully have space for the gentle side too. Like one of my clients, for example, went, she was hard charging towards her targets, got diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And it was like, okay, that's a big pivot. That's a big wake-up call. And so we ended up pivoting her coaching just to how she was going to get through that.
Right.
So we did. So that was fine. So I'm was able to hold space for that challenge as well. But I am a big believer in just kicking you right in the face, like get it done. So I don't work well with people that need like a lot of kid gloves because it's sort of, I'm not mean. Not going to deliberately set out to hurt somebody because that would make me feel awful. I would never want to deliberately hurt somebody. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that sort of very gentle and loving punch in the face. So definitely my clients they hire me to put them in the fire. It's like a crucible. You get in, you're transformed into something amazing.
Right.
Right. And it's faster. It's just faster.
Yeah.
Right. Because you don't have to do it all by yourself because nobody does anything alone. Think I got where I am by being alone? No, I had coaches to help accelerate my progress.
Absolutely.
Be good mirrors for me, right?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. So we're coming to the end. It has been so great. But before we wrap things, is there any final advice you'd like to share with our listeners on how they can become the best version of themselves and achieve their goals?
I'm reminded of a story that I heard years ago about how life is like a potluck dinner.
Okay.
And you come to the potluck dinner with your dish and you've seasoned it the way you season it and you cooked it the way you've cooked it and you follow the recipe the way you follow it. And nobody else can make the dish the way you can. It's your dish and you come to the potluck with your dish. And if you don't show up at the potluck, somebody else at the table doesn't eat because they can only eat from your dish. They can only hear a message from you. They can only get it from you. So it's incredibly important for you to show up to the potluck. Please bring your dish so that anybody else who needs to eat and can only hear it from you actually gets to eat so they don't go hungry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautifully said.
Yes.
So sometimes we get challenged with, oh, there are so many people already doing that thing.
I don't believe
it. But nobody is doing it like you.
That's right. Yeah, I 100% do not. I just don't believe that there's a competitive piece around that. Because the thing is, I believe we're all connected. Quantum physics, we're all connected. Yeah. Like we're the divine experiencing itself, all that jazz. And so for the good of the world, the work that you do in the world with the people that you work with, I don't have to do that work.
Right.
Good. good, I can leave that to you. You got it handled. And then the work that I'm doing in the world with the people that I work with, I'm doing the work. So I got it handled. Right. And you don't have to do that. Right. We lighten each other's loads by taking care of the work that we have to do. So I just don't believe it. And I mean, I think that probably used to stop me before too. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many, but no, it's not true. It's actually not true. There's more than enough for each person to meet the person that they need, to give them what they need at the time that they need it, in the way that they need it.
And I think that's why coaches and consultants, you do that discovery call and you find out that she's not for me. He's not for me.
The vibe is not mine.
And that's okay. And, you know, approaching it with openness, I think is key. So thank you so much coming on Woman of Grit podcast, Catherine. It has been a pleasure having this conversation and learning so much from you today. So listeners, if you're ready to embrace your whole self, to accelerate you to confident, authoritative, and influential life. If you're just interested in learning more about what Catherine Lazarus does, please check out her website, lzrkconsulting.com. And she also has it on, for the people who will see the video on the screen, it will also be in the show notes and on the webpage that will be linked to this particular episode.
So that's it for today's episode of Woman of Grit. Thank you for joining us and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.